I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. So we're going to be continuing on through the book of Acts. But while we get there, I want to just give you and start off from the very beginning. I'm going to give you the main idea today, and then we're just going to kind of walk through and just see how it plays out in Peter's life, but also how it plays out in ours. And so the main idea today is our limitations are not restrictions, but reminders. For the devoted follower, our limitations are not restrictions, but reminders. So we're going to walk through that. But last week, if you were with us, Pastor Tim gave us a comparison about two different ways that we can view church. And one was consumer, and one was contributor. And consumer is all about me. What can you give me? How can you make it convenient for me? Right? Contributor is eyes off of ourselves, and it's more on how can I serve you? How can God use me to bless you? So about me, about others, and about God. That's kind of the comparison. And so we're walking through the book of Acts, and we're trying to see what happened. And we're trying to also see why we are not experiencing it right now. And so one of the things that the main thing we're going to zone in on this week is how we allow limitations to hold us back. How we allow limitations in our own lives to hinder God's working through us. And so that's where we're going to go today. All right, so from the very beginning, just going to let you, we're all in this together. I'm going to throw myself under the bus in a minute, but I'm just letting this all know. We're all under the bus together. All right. Thank you that the EMS is there so they can help us. Right. But we all have self-doubt. We all have weaknesses. We all have limitations. We all struggle with inadequacies, shortcomings, failures. And we allow those things to define us. And when those things define us, two things happen to us. The first thing is that we hinder our ability to receive God's love for us. So when I'm believing in my shortcomings and my limitations, I'm doubting God and what he says about me. So when you allow your shortcomings, failures, whatever, limitations to define you, you're not receiving God's love for you. But the second thing is that it keeps us from being available for God to use us. So it hinders God's ability to display his power in and through us. So when our shortcomings, when our failures, when our weaknesses, when our limitations define us, it hinders us from experiencing God's love for me personally, and it hinders his ability to flow through me because I'm allowing those things to define me rather than him. And so, Tim, they don't believe me, so no. Thank you, Tim. And so, for me, I'll give you a glimpse into my life. And so I'm not trying to tell you this so that you feel bad for me, okay? I don't feel bad for myself. I'm learning to overcome these things so that these limitations I've put on myself are no longer limitations, but they're reminders to me about how amazing God is, okay? And so I'm just going to tell you, sometime in my childhood, I have no idea when it exactly started. I allowed almost every single decision to be informed by my lack of confidence, my self-doubt, my limitations. From a very young age, I remember specifically making decisions because I was like, I'm not good enough to do that, so I'm not going to even try. I remember thinking, oh man, she is too good looking. She would never like me, so I'm not even going to ask her. And praise God, I got to find Shardy, so that's good. All right. It all worked out, all right? But I withheld myself from experiencing things, from doing things, because I lacked the confidence, and I predetermined in my mind that I wasn't going to succeed, so I wouldn't even try. I was enslaved to that. And so as I got into high school, man, I have amazing parents. And they did their best to be able to champion me and support me. They grew me up in a home that I knew who the Lord was from a very young age. They helped me be able to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I was walking with the Lord best I knew how at the time. I had a pastor that was pouring into me. I had youth leaders pouring into me. I had great friends. So I had all the pieces to the puzzle. It should have been working. I should have been thriving. But I was allowing my own limitations to hinder me, to keep me back from actually living. I could tell you all the facts about God. I could tell you all these things that God loves me, all the things he did. But because of my self-doubt, my limitations, I struggled to receive God's love for myself. And so just in case you're wondering, that doesn't just go away at the blink of an eye. So it's still something that I struggle with, and I'm trying to help walk in, and I'm trying to believe what God says about me instead of what I tell myself about myself. And so same is true and available for you. And so you may not have the same type of battle with it. You might be super confident, and you might just go out there and just go and get things done, not even care, just go and do it. And I praise God for you because you balance the world out. All right. But what might your struggle be? It might be an internal struggle. You might be like, man, yeah, I can go do something, but what actually gives me meaning and purpose? What determines why I'm even here? You might have this insecurity inside of you. Maybe you've walked through some stuff and your past has been really rough. You've experienced a lot of heartache. And you're like, man, I don't deserve, because of the stuff I've been through, I don't deserve to be able to do this. You're allowing your past to hold you back. Maybe it's some sort of sin struggle that you currently have, or one that you've had in the past. And you're just allowing the fact that you keep failing just to be a reminder of, oh, I'm just going to just stay right here and just be stuck. I don't see that in the Bible. And so for myself and for all of us today, our desire is for us to actually begin walking in the way of Jesus. And so he desires for us not to limit ourselves based off of what we might believe about ourselves or what the enemy is feeding into our minds, but he's inviting us to be able to be defined by him. So what we're going to see in the book of Acts is that's what began to happen, is that the disciples, they began to not have their eyes on themselves anymore, but they were consumed and in awe with the Messiah, that they just walked in this and they didn't necessarily care about themselves. They were not allowing their limitations to be restrictions in their life anymore, but they're allowing them to be reminders that, yes, God uses even me. I'm trying to get there. We'll try our best. I can't do it word for word, but we're just going to roll. Okay. So they weren't allowing themselves to be limited. They weren't allowing their limitations to be restrictions, to hold them back from being able to speak for the Lord, to be able to be available, to be used by God. But they were allowing their weakness to be reminders for them that God is so good. That God loves to use us in our weakness. It's like almost that would be in our Bible as well. I'm getting ahead of myself. What's the issue though? Is the issue that God is a liar? Oh, I just said that. That made a lot of you actually look at me. I'm trying to get us to think about this because we allow these limitations to restrict us in crazy ways. And so we need to be able to think about this. If we want freedom, we need to be able to address this. So is God lying when he says that he loves you, that he has great plans for you, and he desires to show his power in and through you? Okay, no, God's not a liar. So that's not the case. So then the issue then over here is that we are believing lies. We are believing whatever lie that we are holding on to, and that we're allowing these things to define us rather than our amazing God. And so what we're trying to step into here is we're trying to step into actually living the life that Jesus has called us to live. And this is the good news, is that all of us are limited. All of us are broken. All of us are sinful, and we are condemned because of our sin. But that's the amazing thing about Jesus, is that Jesus came to be able to forgive us, to unite us to God. But then guess what? It's not just about forgiveness and uniting in right relationship with God. Jesus desires for us to walk in this newness of life. He wants us to be able to walk as these new redeemed creations, that we don't live our lives based off of how we see ourselves, but we trust in what he says about us. He wants us to walk in this freedom and in this newness of life. Man, I don't experience that very much in my life. I'm just confessing before you, this is a desire of my heart. And I wonder if it's the same for you. Right? 2 Corinthians, I told you to go to Acts. If you don't want to flip, that's okay. We're going to be 2 Corinthians. I'll have it on the screen behind me. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the beautiful thing for us that are in Christ. We don't live restricted because of our limitations. This is Apostle Paul talking about the same thing. Verse 9, it says this, "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" Just let that linger over your heart right now. My grace is sufficient for you. That's the message for somebody here today. You need to believe that God isn't lying when he says this over your life. But he keeps on and he says, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." So then Paul responds and he says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, with insult, with hardship, with persecution and calamities. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong." So why do we spend so much time trying to pretend that we don't have shortcomings and weaknesses and limitations? Paul is saying, man, yeah, I'm weak and I want to admit my weakness. Why? So that the power of God can rest on me. Man, I can't do anything to be able to persuade you to take a step spiritually. But if I admit my weakness before God and to say, God, I bring nothing to the table. I've got nothing here, but I'm going to take this step because you've asked me to. You've presented me with this opportunity. I'm going to take this step, God. And if you don't show up, it's going to flop. And so, God, would you show up? Would you show up? We all have weaknesses, and God works powerfully through our weaknesses. It becomes clear that it's not about me, but it's all about God. All of my life is his. And so when this happens, this shift begins to happen within the side of our souls, where we don't run from situations that reveal our weaknesses. We don't remove ourselves from situations that show us that we're less than adequate. But what begins to happen is that we walk in them with this faith expectation that God is going to come through because he loves to show himself powerful in my weakness. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. These men weren't the most skilled. They weren't the most trained. They weren't doing these extravagant things. They were living life and allowing the Spirit of God to just flow through them, because they realized that they weren't the center of the story, but Jesus was. The beautiful thing is that the gospel of Jesus forgives you, unites you into right relationship with God, but it also invites you to walk in the newness of life. That's our desire for every single one of us here today. I don't want you to live content with what you've been experiencing. I want you to begin believing what God says about you more and more and walking in that. And I think that there's a shift happening in some of you here today. Let me share one thing and then I'll give you a recap and we'll get back to Acts like I asked you to be there. What if we saw our limitations as an invitation for the power of God? What if we began to stop allowing these things to hold us back from things and we began just trusting in God to actually be God? God, I don't have the ability. I don't know that I'm the best equipped, but God, if you say so, I'll step. And in my limitation, this is going to be an invitation for you to show up and show out. What if we lived like that? What would happen? I mean, I think some crazy stuff would happen. I think that's what would happen. So we don't allow our limitations to be restrictions, but reminders. And so Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we're going to start off. If you're a guest with us, or if this is one of the first times you're with us, we've been journeying through the book of Acts. And so up to this point, what's gone down is Jesus has been crucified and he resurrected and he spent time with his disciples. And he said, you guys need to go pray. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. And these men and women were like, what does that even mean? So they went, they prayed and they waited. And then all of a sudden God showed up. The Holy Spirit came in an undeniable way. And then these men and women just began being faithful and they just began telling everybody about what Jesus has done and what Jesus has said. And so there's this move of the gospel is happening and these people are not being limited by their own resources, but they're walking in the power of God. And Peter and John go to the temple just to pray. This is a weekly occurrence, daily occurrence. It's time to go to prayer. They're just walking into prayer. And as they're on their way, they see a man that couldn't walk. And the Spirit nudges Peter and he says, hey, man, I don't have any money to give you, but hey, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And this dude gets up and walks. And so now the temple is just going crazy. They're just stirring. Like, wait, what just happened? Who did this? By what power did you do this? And so now the people in charge of the temple are now kind of angry at Peter and John because they're like, you can't say that Jesus did that. You're not allowed to do that here. And so now they Peter and John are before the officials of the synagogue and they're interrogating them. And so that's where we pick up. So Acts 4:13 says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and they charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Then they were released. And they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard it, they lifted up their voices to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I mean, that's crazy. I want us to be able to notice some things. I want us to be able to see where was their focal point. Did they have some pretty real danger? I mean, now suddenly the city that they lived, they weren't necessarily welcomed because they represent Jesus. They weren't allowed to go preach him anymore. So they're aware of the pressure, right? But where's their heart? It's focused on the Lord. It's lifted up. They're consumed with their God. And that's amazing. But I want us to focus on Peter. So this is the part where you guys can talk to me, all right? Zach, you can help him. Okay. All right, so think about Peter's past. Was there another time in which Peter was standing before religious people and had to give an account to if he knew Jesus? Man, he's louder. Okay. How did that past experience with Peter before these people go? Failure, badly. He denied Jesus. He denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times, right? Okay. And so Peter was a real dude. All right? Dude. He was a real man. All right? He wasn't this fable where like he has all of his stuff together all the time. Right? So when Peter is right here in Acts chapter 4 that we just read, He's aware of his limitations. He's aware of what happened the last time that they confronted him about his relation and connection to Jesus. Right? He's aware of his past failure. But what do we see within Peter? Did he allow his failure, his lack of education among all these high religious elites to hold him back? No, he didn't allow that limitation in his mind to be a restriction. But he allowed it to be a reminder of how amazing his God is. Right? We see a shift happening. Peter isn't standing there before them because Peter is pumping himself up. He's not looking in the mirror trying to just talk to himself and be like, man, you look good today, Peter. Man, put your chest out. You're looking good. You're the man, Peter. I'm going to just speak all these positive things over you, Peter, and you're going to be good. Man, that junk doesn't work. How did Peter have this shift happen to where he doesn't renounce Jesus anymore? He's standing before them in the power of his connection with God. It's not because Peter thinks that he's amazing, but it's because he's consumed with his God. He's standing there in the power of his connection with Jesus. And that began to make this shift inside where Peter's not thinking, the disciples aren't thinking about themselves anymore, but they're consumed with God. I want you to look back at verses 28 through 30. And if you're okay with writing in your scripture, then I want to challenge you to circle in these verses every time that you see the word your and you. And let's go back and let's notice their prayer. Let's notice their heart posture as they're praying to God. What does it say? It says to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their heart, their threats, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We see this shift is happening within the disciples, that it's not about them. They're aware of their limitations. They're aware of their weaknesses, but they're not praying away these things. They're consumed with God. Let me give you my own translation of that prayer. God, we have no idea what is going on here, but we trust you. We know that your plan is working out. We need your help, God. So you provide us with the ability to speak when we would rather stay silent. Give us the words to say when we don't know what words to say. God, show up. God, we show up. We're weak, but we're available. And we are trusting that you're going to show up and do what only you can do. Did they take credit for the signs and wonders? They're saying, hey, God, we're weak. We don't even know what to say, and we're afraid. But God, you give us your words. You give us your boldness so that we can represent you. And when we do, they had this expectation. They had this expectation that God was going to show up in the midst of their weakness. Right? He says, while you stretch out your hand to heal. Man, what if we began to actually take God at his word? What if we began to not see our limitations as restrictions, but as reminders for us of God's love and his available power to us? So are you like Peter? I just want to ask, man, how are you like Peter? Because look back at his life a little bit more. Was there a time when Jesus was still alive? Zach, I need your help again. Was there a time when Jesus was still alive with his disciples that Jesus spoke very specific words about Peter and how he was going to be used? Avery, I am proud of you. Whew. There was. If you have your Bible, you can flip to Matthew 16. It might be on the screen behind you, but don't quote me. But Matthew 16, man, Peter, because has his eyes opened up by the Holy Spirit, he's able to see with his eyes that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the Messiah. And because of this confession, Jesus then tells Peter about how Peter's going to be used by God. And he says this, Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. He says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's crazy. So Peter is sitting there, and God in the flesh is saying, hey, I'm going to use you to build the church. And he doesn't just say that. That would be enough to be able to make me shake in my boots. I told you about myself, right? I'd be shaking in my boots, right? Okay. But he also promised him victory. He says the greatest opponent to which the church is trying to advance is hell. And he says, Peter, man, you're going to be charging hell, and they're not going to be able to keep you out. It promised victory. And then he says, man, you know, whatever you say is free will be in heaven. Whatever you say is condemned is not. Shoo! That's scary. There's power, there's weight to this, but God spoke that over Peter. So I just want to ask you, are you like Peter? I know I am. Peter had this word spoken over his life and this promise about how God was going to use him. So it's again, it's to this question I tried to get you to think about. So Peter has to be able to address either God's lying or I got some screws loose. Right? And so Peter didn't fully embrace it. He didn't, from that moment, begin to be able to walk in that authority that God had for him. He struggled with it. It was after this moment that he had the denial. And then what did he do after the denial? He went back to fishing. Right? Could you imagine the shame? Could you imagine the regret? Could you imagine the limitations we're talking about that Peter had all over his mind and his life? Yet Jesus resurrects. Peter and him reunite. And then Jesus says, hey, Peter, now's your time. Now's your time. Go wait till the Holy Spirit comes, and then it's about to happen, Peter. So again, that would be reassurance. That's amazing that God doesn't give up on us when we give up on him. It's amazing, right? But again, think about the humanity of Peter. Think of the limitations, every reason that he had in his mind to be able to be like, man, that's not me. I failed you once. I'm probably going to do it again. Oh, gosh. Peter had every right to be able to allow his limitations to restrict him. But a shift happened in him that can happen in you and I as well. He began to not see these limitations as restrictions on his life, but as reminders that even though I'm a failure, God still chooses to use me. That even though I'm weak and feeble and I don't know everything I need to know, God still wants to show his power through me. And so he begins to walk in this and he says, man, if God's going to use me, I'm going to show up. And we see him in Acts 4 where he's like, I cannot help but speak about what I've heard. But the beautiful thing is, man, we walk through 1st and 2nd Peter as a church family. Right? So Peter's been kind of our homie for a little bit, right? Do you remember some of the words that he said in 2nd Peter? You can flip there. 2nd Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Tim. So Peter, at the end of his life, he still is consumed with this, that he does not want to be held back by the restrictions anymore. But he wants to be able to walk in this newness of life that God has. He wants to experience everything that God has for him. And so he's writing this epistle, this letter, and he wants you and I to not be held back anymore. He wants us to be able to experience this freedom, this fullness that he's experienced, because he knows that we can attain it. And he writes these words in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. What did he say? Wait, look at this. He said, has granted. That's like a double past tense. I don't know what that is, English teacher, so I'm sorry. It's like a sure thing. Has granted, ED. Okay, it's like a sure thing. It already happened. Upon salvation, you have been granted what? This is open note, man. I need some help. This is an open note. All things. Everything. But do we believe that? Do you believe that? No, we treat this like it's karate. Right? We treat this as if it's like, okay, you say you accept Jesus into your life, and now you're a white belt. And that maybe if you master a move, you can do a little, then maybe you can get the little black stripe, right? And then you get a little bit more God. And then you can progress. I don't know what's next. I'm sorry. I failed at that part right there in karate. So yellow or orange or something. And you progress through. And then maybe one day that when you get to the end that you'll be this kung fu master with a black belt. That's how we treat our Christianity. And that's why we're stuck where we are. Peter is saying from the very moment of salvation, you have been granted all things. And so where's the space for limitation? Nowhere. My weakness has no place. My past is dead and gone. My regret, my shame is behind me. I'm defined by God. And so Peter's inviting us. He's begging us to begin living in light of this, that our restrictions, our limitations shouldn't restrict us anymore, but they should remind us that in our weakness, God is made strong. That in our weakness, the love of God for me is shown. The love of God for you is shown. Our limitations are not restrictions, but they are reminders. Reminders that God loves you, that he forgives you, that he desires to use you, not a future version of you, right here in this room right now. God says he loves you. But when our restriction, when our limitations, when our weaknesses are too loud, we don't hear his love. So I just want to ask, man, what are the limitations limiting you today? What are the things that are keeping you back from experiencing the newness of life that Jesus died for? What do we do? How do I live as if my limitations are not restrictions? How do I grow in that? I'm thankful that Peter preached a bold message a chapter before what we read in chapter 3. And these people, after they heard Jesus as Lord, after they heard that message, of the glorious message of the gospel, they're like, man, what do we do? And Peter says these words: repent, therefore. Turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance isn't this word that's like, you need to repent, man. Get your stuff together. Repentance is an invitation for you to see life correctly. Repentance is an invitation for you to be able to come back from where you've wandered, for you to be able to come to the very presence of God. And what does Peter say? When we come to the presence of God, that you may experience times of refreshing. So, man, what you've been carrying? What have you been holding back? What sin have you been holding on to that you need to let go? What kind of regret? What shame? What is it inside of you that you've allowed to be a restriction in your life? And you repent, turn. It's just turn. Confess it. Tell God, man, God, I've allowed this thing to consume and restrict my life. Help me. And when you do that, you can come to the presence of the Lord and get refreshment, the time of refreshment. And so we're going to close here now. We're going to sing two songs. But I don't want you to be able to just sit here and live life like you always do. So this is your time. So some of you, you might need to stand and sing. And that's great. That's your response. But some of you, you may need to come. And we're going to have people over here in this corner available to pray with you. You may just need to say a simple word, just, hey, just pray with me. You might need to just kneel in front of your chair or sit, or you may go out to your car and pray, whatever you need to do. But church, may we not be people that just hear what God is inviting us into and say, nah, I don't want that. Let us begin to believe God instead of ourselves. So whatever it looks like for you to repent and be refreshed, let's follow that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. We're going to respond how we need to respond. And so, Father, I thank you for who you are. We praise you because you are high and risen up, that you have defeated our sin, you have defeated the enemy, and you have defeated the grave. So I pray that you would give us the ability to trust you with what we've been holding. And I pray that you would give all of us times of refreshment. I pray that we would stop allowing things to hold us back and to begin living our lives based on how you define us, Father. So we love you. Spirit, minister to us how we need to now. In your name we pray. Amen.